Hi, I'm Curious City intern Sophia Lowe. Ugh, hot week, huh? Just about the right weather for an icy lemonade.
Oh, holy.
Is that good?
That is sweet. That is one sweet lemonade. Maybe I just got the syrup at the bottom.
It is sweet, though.
Lucky for you, this week we're revisiting a story from a few years ago. It's when reporter Monica Eng tracked down the origins of a rainbow-colored lemony drink and its beefy steak sandwich companion. Then, have you ever noticed those house-like structures out on Lake Michigan? Some of them even look like tiny castles. I wonder what would happen if I tried to swim out to one.
There's sirens and alarms that would go off. And, you know, the Coast Guard would probably be notified.
Okay, bad idea. Anyway, Monica finds out why the Coast Guard doesn't want you swimming around them. Plus, she gets the actual answer to the question we got. What are those things out on the lake? That's all coming up.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uChicagoMedicine.org.
Hi, I'm Curious City reporter Monica Eng, and I've covered food in Chicago for a long time. But some things have stumped me for years, like this one food mystery that's bugged question asker Johnny Schulte. See, he's got a job that takes him all over the South Side.
And I would see these steak and lemonade places, and I was just kind of intrigued by why steak and lemonade. Why and how and who and how it came to be.
If you travel around the south and west sides of Chicago, you may have seen these places Johnny's talking about. They're fast food joints, usually painted yellow and blue, with the brand name Baba's or some variation on it. They started popping up around here about a decade ago. But as to Johnny's questions about who came up with the idea, I scoured the internet and found nothing on the combo's origins. What I did learn was that these joints have fanned out to Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, and even Louisville, Kentucky, where there's a whole chain called, get this, Chicago Steak and Lemonade. So this food combo represents Chicago in like five states, but still remains a mystery to many Chicagoans. To be honest, I wasn't even sure what steak here meant, like T-bones, strip steaks, or what. I figured this was going to take some old-fashioned reporting and eating. So I mapped out every steak and lemonade place from my office to Indiana, and I picked up Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, nice to meet you.
Great to meet you. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you? Wow.
And we went on a mission to stop at everyone in our path till we had some meaty clues. Our first stop was a Baba's Famous Steak and Lemonade on the west side. And there we cleared up one part of the mystery pretty fast, what the combo tastes like.
It's incredible. Yeah, it's really good. Lots of flavors going on.
The quote, steak, turns out to be Chicago's version of a Philly cheesesteak, with shaved beef, onions, and peppers on a roll. And the lemonade, it's like this big lemon slurpee with a rainbow of fruit syrups you can get squirted on top. So, first mystery solved. But who came up with this combo and where? We asked a cook there, also named Johnny, and he brought us into a storeroom.
Well, there was a guy that was doing lemonades in California off a shopping cart, you know what I'm saying? So when he came to Chicago, we just iterated the Phillies with the frozen lemonades.
These sounded like solid clues, till his boss, Mohammed, gave us a completely different theory about where the combo came from.
This Middle East.
Okay, where in the Middle East?
Jordan,
okay. And his name, the first guy's name was?
Haytham Lebedi.
Haytham Lebedi, and he's a Jordanian.
Yes.
With these conflicting but promising clues, we traveled south to the next closest steak and lemonade joint to see if anyone there could confirm the theories. This one was called Firehouse Steak and Lemonade. We asked cashier Tanya Johnson if she knew anything about where the combo came from.
I want to say maybe Baba's was like the first steak and lemonade place around with the colorful lemonades and the steak. And then after them, they were just like everywhere.
Tanya thought the very first Baba's was over at 71st and Jeffrey in the South Shore neighborhood. So we headed there in hopes of finally finding the inventor. Instead, though, we found a friendly guy named Atala Atala, and...
I am not the first man who, invented what they call steak and lemonade. Somebody sold me this restaurant before.
Okay.
Yeah. Where is he now? In Joliet.
What's his name?
His name is Mario.
Mario. Okay, so Atala says Mario, but the other guy said the founder was Haitham. We drove to the next closest Baba's at 71st and Michigan to see if someone could clear it up. And there we met manager Mwat Hamad, who did just that.
There's a guy, his name's Mario, came up with a full steak and lemonade together. And he opened the first store, and they went really big and huge.
Now the stories were gelling, and it sounded like the key was finding this guy Mario at a Baba's in southwest suburban Joliet. I called there and got a manager named Zahar. He said he thought he might just be able to get me a meeting with the big boss. So I grabbed Johnny for a second day of sleuthing.
Hey, Monica.
Ready to go meet Mario?
Let's do it.
After an hour of driving, we pulled up to a bright, sparkling, clean, blue and yellow Baba's and crossed our fingers.
Hi, I'm Monica Eng with WBC.
Hi, Monica.
Nice to meet you.
Hi, Johnny.
Johnny.
So let me call the owner.
Okay. Oh, so this is Mr. Mario.
Yes, ma'am.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
All right, thanks. Okay, so is it all right if I set up some recording equipment?
Turns out it wasn't all right. Mario just wanted to chat a little first. Then he disappeared into the kitchen and reappeared with this giant tray of fries, Philly cheesesteaks, and colorful lemonades. That we insisted on paying for. Finally, we sat down for the interview. Mario grabbed the mic and told us his real name.
My name is Haitham El-Labadi.
So the guy at the first place was right. And Mario, that's just a nickname he picked up from an Italian guy he worked with in Austria. But it turns out Mario didn't bring steak and lemonade from California or Jordan. Actually, it came from somewhere a little closer, like Country Club Hills in the south suburbs.
I opened this store like a fast food, not like 5 stars, just only like 1 stars for the neighborhood. Oh, I make like a Philly steak, everything fresh from scratch. And I make the lemonade too, fresh homemade lemonade from scratch too.
These two dishes ended up being his best sellers. So in the late 90s, Mario decided to market them together.
Like dinner with a drink.
And he thought they looked good on a sign along with the word Baba's, which means father in Arabic.
Easy name, simple name.
And there's your simple answer. By 2006, Mario had trademarked the name. He even showed us the document. And he decided to take his idea to the city, where he opened his first Chicago Baba's at 71st and Jeffrey.
And after I moved to 71st, Michigan.
Then several more years, all over the west side, south side, and south suburbs.
22nd, Cermak.
Places where rents were cheap. But copycats were springing up all around him.
A lot of people put Super Baba, Little Baba, Great Baba. And everybody want to steal the name.
Mario says he sold most of his places and kept just 3 Babas in the south and west suburbs, where he pours his heart into his work.
I love my job in my heart because anyone, he can cook the food. But when he work in him heart, he got a great job in good food.
After we said goodbye to Mario, Johnny and I got back in the car, and I asked if anything about the final answer surprised him.
Basically just that it came from one guy's ideas to put 2 things that I wouldn't really put together, and it's a huge hit and people love it. I think that's probably the most surprising thing.
And after trying about 10 sandwiches and a half a dozen lemonades on our journey, Johnny was pretty satisfied.
As my great-grandmother always used to say, all you get out of life is a bite to eat.
Now that you've got your lemonade icy and a tasty sandwich in hand, whether it's steak or veggie, it's time to find a nice place to sit down, take in some fresh air, and chill all the way out. For Workhorse Monica Eng, That means hitting the lakefront, where she'll tackle yet another Curious City listener's question. That's next after the break.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
One day this summer, 8th grader Aiden Singleton was biking with his mom Danielle near Wilson Avenue Beach when he saw something out in the lake.
And he said, "Mom, what is that way out there?" So we pulled out the phone, tried to search for structure out in the middle of the water in Chicago. Nothing came up. So he said,
"We should submit it to Curious City. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get an answer there."
Yep.
They're talking about those things way out in the lake that look like houses. And I'm so glad they asked, because there got to be a lot of lakefront users who are asking themselves this all the time. To get an answer for Aiden and his mom, I invited them back to the beach to meet Dick Lanyon.
Danielle.
Nice to meet you.
Aiden.
Lanyon's the retired chief of the Water Reclamation District, and he now writes books about Chicago's water system.
So, Dick, what is that structure we're seeing off the shore here?
Well, that is the Wilson Avenue Water Intake Crib.
This crib is actually one of six that remain in the Chicago area. But what exactly does an intake crib do?
It brings in lake water to the city for drinking water, firefighting, and all the water that comes out of the tap.
Chicago started building these tap water sources in the 1860s, and Lanyon says they put them way out there for good reasons.
The shore water, back in the day these were built, was quite polluted. The city didn't enforce any regulations. There was a lot of open dumping along the lakefront. But even today, you know, you got bacterial contamination along the lakefront. So you go out farther where the water's clear and cleaner to get potable water for the city.
Lanyon explains that the water travels to the city through tunnels that are at least 2 miles long and built deep underground. So Aiden wanted to know how they built those tunnels back then.
It was hand dug, about 5 feet in diameter, lined with brick, clay that was hauled out through the crib or through the pumping station structure.
But Aiden also wanted to know something else.
Why can't we go out there and see it?
Well, it's the same reason why your mom couldn't find anything on the internet about what those structures are. Because of Homeland Security, water systems are considered a critical infrastructure, and you don't want to talk about it or advertise it in the case of terrorist problems.
If a sailboat started getting really close, what would happen?
There's sirens and alarms that would go off, and you know, the Coast Guard would probably be notified, and if you stayed around, you'd be in trouble.
Yep, guarding active cribs that still bring water to the city is serious business. But the crib at Wilson Avenue is no longer active. It's actually a relic from another time, a time when our water was pumped straight from the lake to our taps. In 1945, the city did start filtering our water, but it all had to go through one of two main filtration plants.
And since we have only two water treatment plants on the lakefront, you only need two cribs.
So the other cribs that don't feed the two plants have just been sitting unused for decades. In 2015, the city released plans to demolish them. But more recently, Preservation Chicago has argued for them to be reused as restaurants or museums. Aiden even has his own idea for the Wilson crib.
I think maybe we could use them for, like, building an airport out there, where then you would sail into the city.
And Chicago could finally get that third airport.
Thanks to Monica Eng for her reporting this week. For more Chicago history stories, check us out at wbez.org/Curious City. Curious City is supported by the Conant Family Foundation. The show is produced by Joe Dassault and edited by Alexander Solomon. Maggie Civet is our digital and engagement producer. I'm Sophia Lowe, the Curious City intern. Thanks for listening.
Rise and Shy, WBEZ is serving local stories for breakfast every weekday morning from 5 to 11. Tune in on the WBEZ app to hear what Chicago's talking about as you start your day.